Continuing in our series in the names of God, today we're going to be looking at the name Jehovah Rapha. Any ideas on what Jehovah Rapha means? Any? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. The Lord is the one who heals. As I've been studying the names of God, and I trust that you also have come to grips with this, you just come to just love God and love His tenderness and how He introduces Himself and explains and reveals Himself to us as people. And, you know, as the Word of God, as we're reading through the Word of God, understand that this is God's Word to you and to me. It was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through men, holy men of the Scriptures. And they were given to certain people at certain times to read, the original audiences. And now today it's been preserved for us that we might also understand these incredible truths. And so turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. As you're turning there, I just want to just briefly explain, as I mentioned that name of God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer, if you are like me, you probably would, your mind would go to that idea of physical wholeness, of that God wants me to be healthy and wants me to be well and wants me to be strong. And, you know, as you think about those things, I want you to put that on the shelf for a moment, okay? Because there is that teaching can go a wrong way, all right? Those thoughts can go a wrong direction. And there are teachers in our culture today that will exalt that kind of teaching and that kind of life. And we're going to look in the Scriptures as to see where this name of God is found, in the context of where it's found. And I believe we're going to see some very interesting things in regard to this name, Jehovah Rapha, God revealing Himself as a healer, the one who heals. Exodus chapter 15. All right, context. Exodus chapter 15 includes the song of the people of Israel, Moses, Miriam. They're singing after an incredible miracle. Exodus 14, the crossing of the Red Sea. All right, so the Red Sea, incredible miracle. As they crossed the Red Sea and they watched as the waves crashed down upon the army of Pharaoh, an incredible victory that day. Well, after that, they traveled, they sang their song and they praised the Lord. If you look at that song, just chapter 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And you can see here the people of Israel are just exalting in God and even in his name. Well, you come to the verse 22 of this chapter. Miriam in verses 20 and 21, she is singing and they're just praising the Lord. Verse 22 then, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Uh-oh. Problem. Right? I mean, here they are, just a glorious escape, a glorious crossing of the Red Sea. They are praising God in His name. And now they move from the Red Sea and they go 3 days out into this wilderness that they're going to cross to head to the promised land. Moses is leading them. And they go 3 days and they don't have any water. Now there's about, you know, estimates of 2 million people, no water. This is a big problem from a human standpoint. You know what it's like to be thirsty. And I highly doubt, though, that any of us have been at a point where we have had absolutely no options for water. And maybe you have. But here, millions of people out in the wilderness, and they come and find no water. Verse 23, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of this place was called Marah, which means bitterness. That was the name that Naomi wanted to be called when she came back. She was just, there was just bitterness of soul. That's the name that they gave this place, because they came to a place where there was some sort of spring or body of water, but it was bitter. It was not able, you couldn't drink it. So it was almost as if they were being teased. I mean, you're out in the desert, and you've heard stories of those mirages, you know, and you see the water, and you head to the water, and you get there, and there's nothing but more sand. And so you can just imagine the frustrations that are building in these millions of people, fathers with their families, and what are we going to do? And so, verse 24, the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Moses is their leader. He's the one that has brought them this far. So they turn to him and say, "What are we going to do? This is your problem. You brought us here. What are we going to do?" And verse 25, and he cried out unto the Lord. That word cried is a word that, when you look at it in the Old Testament, is a word that speaks of a desperation. I mean, it's a cry of heartfelt desperation. And Moses here is seen, he's crying out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute. And there, I believe this is the Lord making for them a statute, an ordinance, and there he tested them or proved them. So here's what happened. I mean, this is all significant, because this is the context in which we find the Lord revealing himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. So they come to Marah. The water is bitter. Moses, what are we going to do? Their leader cries out to God in desperation. God, millions of people are thirsty. This water is bitter. What are we going to do? And God comes and he shows Moses a tree. And Moses takes this tree, throws it into the body of water, and the water goes from bitter to sweet. It's not just drinkable, but it's pleasant. I mean, if you look at the original language, it's a word, pleasing. It's pleasing water. You've had drinkable water, but you've had pleasing water, haven't you? Water that's just so sweet. It's so tasty. And so, this is a place that God chooses to make a statute, an ordinance, something for the people to adhere to remember. Now remember, these people, they're pretty fresh out of Egypt. They're just a couple days, maybe a week out. And now God is beginning to instruct them. In verse 26, and this is God speaking, and he says, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of Jehovah your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Wow. Now, when you read that, and when you can do internet searches for the names of God, and you come up with, oh, the name of God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, and oh, that sounds like a great name, and we'll just, you know, you can use that, or you can put it up on your wall. But when you get start studying these things and digging deep, you begin to ask questions of, God, what do you mean here? How does this fit? Because our interpretation, our understanding of the Lord, one who heals, is, we get this picture of God. God is one, he wants to make you well. But, you know, in our day and age, and even in the times of the Israelites, not everybody was completely well or whole. And so you start to, your mind, even as a Bible student, you just ask these kinds of questions. Here's where I have come as I have studied this in this context. I want you to notice that it is in the context of a statute or an ordinance given by God to his people Israel. And this is at the very beginning of their wilderness wanderings. Now, notice what the statute says. If you obey me, I will what? I will put none of these diseases upon you. What diseases? He clarifies and he says the diseases that were upon the Egyptians. Well, why is that significant? Because they just came from Egypt. And what just happened in Egypt? 10 what? Plagues. As I got that, I was thinking about that, so I went back and I just checked out those plagues again. Let me rehearse them for you in case you needed to be reminded. Because I really believe what God is doing is he is providing a comparison for his people so that they might know his true character of goodness. Now, the Egyptians, they refused to listen and obey God's command. What was God's command? Let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. That's a problem. When you say no to God. And so Pharaoh said no. His heart was hardened. And so there were 10 plagues that came upon Egypt. And I believe that's what the word disease is. These grievances, these disturbances, these sufferings, these pains. I believe these are what God is referring to. What were they? Well, remember, water turned to blood. All the fish died and they stank. Blood everywhere. Frogs everywhere. And remember, in the house, it says in the scripture, in the house, bedrooms, bed, ovens, baking areas. And then when they all died, they piled them up and they stank. Lice on man and beast. Flies everywhere. Anybody have a problem with flies this year? Man, all the time. Flies everywhere. Cattle dying. Boils upon man and beast. Hail and fire destroying man and beast, trees and crops. Locusts eating everything that's green. Extreme darkness for 3 days. And then finally, what? The death of the firstborn. And so the people of Israel witnessed an incredible judgment upon Egypt through the form of these plagues. And they saw suffering. They saw diseases. They saw grief and mourning as families were parted because of death. Whether it was caused by the hail or because of the passing of the death angel, whatever, there was grieving, there was crying, there was boils, there was pain, there was extreme loss. What were they going to eat? And so the people of Israel had just witnessed these things. And so they were sent out of Egypt, sent out with great pomp and circumstance, if you will, as the Egyptians gave them gifts and sent them on their way. They come to the Red Sea. And then at the Red Sea, oh, they began to murmur and began to complain because in the distance, there comes Pharaoh's army after them. And God says, wait and see, watch and see what the Lord will do for you. and they cross the Red Sea, and the Red Sea comes crashing down upon Pharaoh's army, and again another judgment upon Egypt as more families have lost their men, and Pharaoh has lost much of his army. And the people of Israel are watching and witnessing this incredible judgment and destruction take place. You know, God uses these things. He's going to use this in their life because they have observed these incredible things. And now they're out in the wilderness and they begin to complain again. And God takes this bitter water and he changes it. He makes it sweet. And then he says, listen, listen, people. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. You saw how their lives, I made them grievous and mourning and disturbed. But what did I just do for you? I gave you sweet water to drink in the desert. Listen, I inflicted those diseases upon the people of Egypt. I judged them because they did not adhere to my will, my plan. Oh, listen to me, Israel. Do not go that way, but adhere and listen to my words. Obey my commands, that I might not have to judge you with these diseases and these kinds of things, but rather that you will know me and see me as a God of goodness, a God who brings healing, a God who brings pleasantness into your life. And so, I say, I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I am the God who brings goodness and restores well-being and wholeness to you. But you must remember that I am also the God who brings judgment and disease and death upon those who do not obey my voice. And so the people have a choice. They obey, and they get to experience the incredible goodness of God as they go through the wilderness. But when they choose not to, they do experience incredible destruction, incredible plagues, and hardships. You know, it is interesting as you think through the Exodus and the people of Israel. As they left Egypt, they were commanded. You think about the commands, because God says, you've got to obey my commands. Well, what commands is he talking about? How many commands has he given his people? Well, he's already told them they need to observe the Passover regularly and properly, Exodus 12. He already told them they need to dedicate their firstborn to God, Exodus 13. Observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Exodus chapter 13 as well. Then we come to this passage in chapter 15, where he reveals himself and says, you need to obey my commands. Know me as Jehovah Rapha. I am the one who gives goodness and made the water from bitter to sweet. And then he continues on and he gives more commands. Exodus 16, you need to collect that manna properly. Remember? He gives us clear. What happened when the people didn't? It turned rotten, didn't it? Now, you know, what happened? Where's Jehovah Rapha? The people did not obey, and so they are experiencing what? God's judgment. He's exactly what he has said. Then comes Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. And then it's interesting what happens. In Exodus chapter 32, they directly disobey God, the golden calf. And what happened? Great judgment. Chapter 32, verse 35, the Lord plagued the people, it says. The Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. So what do we need to remember and learn from this name of God? Remember the context, please. because this is in no way a promise for physical wholeness for you and for me today. What this is a revealing of God, of His goodness in comparison to His judgment for disobedience, as you look at the context in which you find this. But I want you to remember something. As you look at this, Jehovah Rapha must remind you of God's holy standards. The context is very clear as God reveals Himself as one who takes the bitter and He makes it pleasant, as the one who heals and restores to wholeness. It's the context of, remember, God has given His commands, His holy standards, and He expects obedience. But Jehovah Rapha also needs to remind you and me of God's heart for His people. You know, God didn't have to write in here, "I am the one who heals you." He didn't have to reveal that aspect of His character. But He is a one who gives good things. And we see that in the book of James and Matthew. The Father gives good gifts. Reveals the heart of God. I mean, in Egypt, He was a hard taskmaster to those Egyptians. But to the people of Israel, they were protected. And here He has made the water sweet. Oh, God. He loves and cares for His people, and He longs to bless them. So as we talk about healing, I would be remiss if I did not mention the healing that is truly there for His people. Because yes, we're not necessarily promised complete physical wholeness. But there are some incredible truths about what takes place spiritually for us as people. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 53. Speaking of Jesus Christ, He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Listen, church, you and I could never perfectly obey God's law. We couldn't do that. We cannot. And God knew that. And God, back in the book of Exodus, He wanted His people to understand, I am Jehovah Rapha, but I am a God who judges. And in the people, we're going to experience both of God's judgment and His healing as they would go throughout the wilderness. But they had to always keep giving sacrifices. And they would, we could never perfectly obey God's law. But He was wounded for our transgressions, it says. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our iniquities, our transgressions, those things that we did in obedience to God's law. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are what? Healed. And perhaps what we see in the book of Exodus is just a little glimpse of where God's going with His plan of redemption. Where Jesus Christ, He comes and He makes what is impossible for human beings possible. And where He takes the bitter and He makes it sweet. And where Jesus Christ, it's through His stripes that we are healed. We looked at a verse in Sunday school class this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, speaking of the same idea. Speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And so, church, in the New Testament, you see it over and over and over again. Obedience brings blessing, disobedience brings cursing. And in the book of Exodus chapter 15, you see that the beginning of that being shaped is for the people of Israel. And right in that time is Jehovah Rapha, I am the one who heals. Deuteronomy chapter 28 spells out very specifically the blessings and the cursings. God's expectation was absolute obedience of his law. But the people could not keep his whole law. They had to continually make sacrifices. And so what did God do? God, knowing all of that, sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill that law so that you and I, so that we might know true healing, that we might in our spirit and in our soul be healed and be right with God. Because it's not of our own righteousness. We don't have that. Jesus does. And Jesus lived righteously and perfectly. He died and paid the penalty for our sin so that we might know true healing. True healing. So as you think of Jehovah Rapha, remember God's holy standards. It's in that context in which we find that name. His holy expectations. He expects obedience. And allow it to remind you of God's heart for his people. He's got a tender heart, so much so that knowing that we could not do it on our own, he sent his son. So that we might, through his stripes, be healed. Praise be to God for this truth. And I trust that you rejoice in Jehovah Rapha and the fact that you know these things about God and that you center your heart and mind upon Jesus Christ. In him we find true healing.